big old trout. It's just as cool as the evening shade. Well, I toss my line and I haul it up. I think I've got it made.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz in studio in La Paz, the city of peace, the capital city of Baja California, sir, and also the host of ASOB, and that has nothing to do with what he is. It's the program called Adventure South
Thanks,
of the Border.
John, I really needed that.
Adventure South of the Border.
Adventure South of the Border, folks. Don't listen to John.
And we also have the pleasure of Rich from St. Croix Rods coming to join the party with us, and I suspect that we're going to find a little bit more about fishing rods than we already know. So stay tuned and let's find out. Rich, welcome to Fish Talk Radio.
Hi, guys. Pleasure to be with you today.
It's a pleasure having you, buddy.
I'd rather be down on the Baja, though.
Well,
come on down. You could be down here right now. Just get on a plane.
Yeah, actually, I'm leaving tomorrow, so we can meet you down there. But anyway, Rich, St. Croix has been around for, well, more than 50 years, right?
St. Croix started back in 1948 in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they produced multiple piece cane rods and sold them to the hardware stores in downtown Minneapolis.
You know, I was just going to say, 1948 was before fiberglass.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was before me, too.
Yeah.
It was before myself.
Prehistoric, yeah. But so in the late 1940s then, you know, I know for a while, because like, I've got one. It's a steel rod. It's kind of square. But I, you know, from what you understand, it was cane, you know, or bamboo.
Bamboo, correct.
It was what everything was made from at that time.
Correct, yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
They cut them into multiple pieces, put metal ferrules on, and send them off to the hardware stores.
Interesting. Well, things have changed a little bit since then, and we're going to get into that a little bit. But I'm just kind of curious, you know, this may not be a fair question, but can you kind of give us a chronology of the progress in reels starting from 1948? Rods, I mean.
Well, like we said, we started with bamboo. The company then moved over to central Wisconsin in the early 50s, at which time they started to play with fiberglass.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, solid fiberglass. It was a pultrusion process, and then it was ground to a specific taper, and then guides, handles, et cetera, put on and shipped.
I don't think I've seen one of those, a solid fiberglass, not...
Solid glass.
Hmm.
Where you might have seen them is the old Snoopy rods.
Oh.
Kid rods, they're solid glass.
I still have one.
Yeah.
We built millions of those for Zebco.
Wow.
Years ago.
That was on the 202, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have one. I still got one, believe it or not.
Yeah, well,
you
still
use it?
You're still a kid.
Yeah, I catch marlin or everyone. No. I don't use it. I just got it. I just keep it because I don't want to throw it away.
Well, God bless you for that.
Oh, thank you.
But anyhow, later on, later part of the 50s, then company moved up to northern Wisconsin where they started to explore tubular products and rolling tubular glass at that time. And then did the tubular glass for years, and then as graphites, carbon fibers started to make their presence in the 70s, started to experiment with that,
mm-hmm.
and... I mean, that's when that whole phenomenon started, you know,
well,
in the 70s with graphite rods.
You know,
it's evolved since then.
There is an evolution, and they keep coming up, you know, with the boron, the carbon rods. But fiberglass is still very popular, and there are applications, but it's probably the most appropriate. Can you comment on that?
Oh, yeah, for cranking applications, absolutely right. You prefer to have a glass blank for that. You need that shock absorber for those fish on the with the treble hooks, and we make a number of all glass rods still, and it's an extremely popular technique out there in the bass world right mm-hmm. now.
Well, I can remember, wasn't that long ago, some years ago, my first carbon rod, I was using it and it literally exploded in my hand.
Yes.
Well, you're not supposed to be playing with dynamite, John.
Well, you know, when they, you know, they'll bend to a point and, you know, and then they just you know, they're great. They're lightweight. They're extremely sensitive. You know, you get the feel, you get the touch. And again, you know, of course, the weight and the strength is important, but fiberglass seems, you know, I'm not saying it's, you know, it's old school, but it seems to be more forgiving.
Well, what you don't have with carbon fiber is the stretch capabilities that you do with glass.
Mm-hmm.
Glass is very elastic. You can get a lot of stretch out of it, and that's why you'll see those softer actions like that. Carbon fiber will stretch to a certain point, and then it'll hit that point, and it'll shear, and mm-hmm. that's when you'll get your breakage.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, it's not just breakage. It's just kind of...
Yeah, well, I've exploded some fly rods.
Yeah.
Yeah,
on some big
like
fish.
22 going off.
Right.
Right. Yep.
Well, now as St. Croix, obviously, you cover the whole, you know, the field is you make freshwater, saltwater, fly rods, and I don't probably even want to ask you how many different rods that you make because I'm sure it's in the hundreds.
The 2012 catalog has 701.
Well, that's more than I'll ever use.
Yeah. Well, by the way, a quick question, Rich. How many rods does the normal angler need
to effectively do the job?
Well, it depends on if you're fishing, John. I imagine bass or saltwater.
You know, if you're, it depends on what you target. You know, a musky guy, he needs 5 rods. A bass guy, he needs about 8 or 9.
Yeah, that's how many I got for bass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with all the different techniques that have evolved over the years, I mean, you need the tool for the technique.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we mentioned, you know, you can't play golf with one stick.
No, I mean, you could, but it wouldn't be any fun.
Well, I think it's fun when I play with it.
Yeah, you play with your putter,
I need
but...
to golf.
Okay. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the stick now.
Okay.
Hey, I got a question for you. I mean, this is really interesting. It's starting to get a lot to me. The acid-wrapped rods. What is your thinking on acid wrap?
You know, we've looked at it on and off over the years, and we just haven't...
Rich, can you tell me what that is? I don't know what he's talking about.
We just haven't moved on it at all. And there's different terms for acid-wrapped. Grizz, what are you talking about when you talk about acid-wrapped?
I'm talking about the way the guides are.
Okay, the way the guides are aligned.
Yeah, because you remember how it got that. It says the guy said, what, were you on acid when you made that rod?
Yeah, it's otherwise known as a Roberts wrap or a
exactly.
Wrap.
We know it as an acid rod because if I remember correctly, a guy made a rod like that. He says, what were you doing, acid, when you made that rod? So it came out as the acid-wrapped rod.
Yeah, which is a term that isn't exactly politically correct. But
no.
But, yeah, there's a number of different names for it. And it's a spiral wrap of the guides on the blank. Mm-hmm. And what it...
So that it comes out,
it'll allow you to get a true flex out of that blank.
Right, so that when it comes out, you're pulling against the guides instead of having the line on the
blank,
ride.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We played with it on and off. We've just never brought it out in any mm-hmm. kind of production.
Well, anyway, I think I do know the answer to the question that I asked you, and that's how many rods does an angler need?
Mm-hmm.
One more than what you've got.
One more than what you've got.
Yeah, or as many as you can afford.
As many as you, yeah.
Do you guys make fly rods?
I've got 5 different series of fly rods.
Really? And how high up do you go?
My most weight-wise? Expensive mm-hmm. series. Of
no, I don't mean in price. I mean in weights.
In a 12 weight, yeah. It'd run you 450, 470.
Well, that's not bad for a 4 weight. You don't have any 14s?
We do not.
I need a 14.
The, water category. But at this point, we don't have a 14.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can get one special made for Grizz so he can go out and get some billfish.
Down where he's at, yeah, he could certainly use it.
Right.
Yeah, my biggest one I've got is a 12.
Okay.
And I
uh-huh.
fish a lot of, for like sailfish, I fish a 10. And then when I go for strout marlin, okay. I use a 12. But I'd
okay.
really
Grizz,
like to have
Grizz,
a 14.
Grizz, we're up against a hard break. We're going to have to go. Rich, can you give us a real quick idea how to get in touch with St. Croix Rods?
If anybody needs any information from us, www.stcroixrods.com.
Okay. All right. Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back with you. Don't go away.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
I was fishing last Friday on a lake in Mississippi in the humid summer heat. On a boat with my best friend Cletus, who was sleeping in the back seat. Well, the bites were slow and we were running low on chips and Gatorade. It'd been a long, hard day. I felt a tug on the line and I didn't pay attention.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz. And we have the world famous Chucky Van Wormer from the Van Wormer Resorts in the East Cape, Los Buriles, Baja California, sir. Chucky, such a pleasure. The last couple of months, we don't get to talk to you a whole lot. You've been so busy with everything else that you got going on down there, but let's find out. It sounds like things are starting to warm up.
Well, let me tell you something. It's very good that there wasn't really that much to talk about in the past 2 months, but now let me tell you that there is. We have the weather has completely has been changing. The water is getting hotter and warmer as you know, we expect during this time of the year. May is just around the corner right now. It's just the wonderful, beautiful settings in the morning. Still nice weather throughout the evening. And I've gone out fishing, and striped marlin are everywhere, just in front of the hotel, up north, and also Dorado is in, and they're just about everywhere inside this area. Those are the first. Of course, we got a lot of mantas jumping. You know, we have a nice scenery every day right in front of the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands and thousands of manta rays or bat rays jumping in front of the hotel. And the people that have gone bottom fishing have gotten to really nice fargos and little cabrillas, and just about, in fact, some groupers were caught not too long ago. So things are heating up. The tuna are not in yet. We're expecting maybe the bull marlin to start showing up the beginning of May, and as it warms up. But right now, the main two species, bottom fish and the chore, there are some rooster fish, nice roosters being caught in the lease, of course. And the Dorado. So those are the main species that right now, and we're expecting pretty soon the next ones to start showing up, not for too long from now, tuna and maybe some wahoo and blue marlin. So we're just waiting for the season to start, the other ones to come arrive.
Chucky, let me make just a couple of comments. First of all, if you're interested in going down there and going fishing, it is absolutely incredible because there's so many different fish that you can put your line out and do a troll and you have no idea what's going to hit it because, you know, some of the things you mentioned, plus there's probably dozens of others. But I just want to make a quick comment. Even if you don't want to go fishing, to go out on one of the boats and when you see the mantas coming 6-8 feet out of the water, and they're doing, and I guess this is the time of the year with their spring ritual when they apparently doing their mating season. Because I can remember some years ago down there, I took my granddaughter down, and they were, you know, swimming around under the boat in the perfect, beautiful, warm, clear water, coming up out of the water and just everywhere. And then I looked down and there was, wow, look at that. That's a big Monterey. And I go, well, wait a minute, that's two Monterays. And they're swimming together, and you go, well, wait a minute, what are they doing?
Well, don't tell us, John. This is a family show.
I'm not going to tell you what they were doing.
No, please
but let's,
don't.
But let's just say that they were very intimate.
Yeah, they were playing.
Yeah, and I guess I don't know if it's the males that put on the dance or whatever they do to attract the ladies, but it's just with all the fish jumping and swimming in the ocean down there, it's just an incredible sight. Even if you don't put a line in the water.
Do you know, Chucky, why those fish jump out of the water and smack?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us, Chucky.
They are. What they're doing is they're getting excited.
Well, I get excited, but I don't do that.
Yeah, well, you do it differently.
Well, that's the way they get excited. They start warming up because they're going to be.
Chuck, you're making it up, buddy. You want to know the story? True story.
Yeah.
They have sperm sacks,
uh-huh.
And the males jump up and hit and smack, and that breaks the membrane from the sperm sac so they can actually breed.
Doesn't that get them excited?
Well, yeah, I guess you got a point there, Chucky. I'm going to go out there in front of your place and start jumping up and down. I'll get out there on the dock and jump and smack. Yeah. I bet I don't get excited, though. I bet it hurt me.
Grizz, we're going to smack you down. Now knock it off. Chucky, this is a very exciting time of the year. What's the water temperature down there right now?
About 78, more or less.
Oh, wow.
78, 80.
Wow. Yeah.
This is inshore out there. We've hit some spots that right around the 80s already, so that's why we're hopefully that everything's going to start coming in during this time of the year. So.
Well,
I mean, up around this time, up around this area, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, the location that you have in the Bay of the Palms, which is, of course, the Palmas de Cortez, is not a coincidence that, the Van Wormer family is, this kind of the pioneers of the Bay of the Palms and East Cape. But the great thing is that in Cabo San Lucas, when you leave the harbor, you can go left up into the Sea of Cortez or go right. But, Grizz, tell me if I'm wrong, but I understand that the Pacific is still pretty cool.
Pacific right now, when I was out there the other day, it was right at 74, and I did get up to 76 in some spots.
Oh, okay. Well, it's warming up then, too.
Yeah, it's warming up, but it's not like the Sea of Cortez. Out there right now, the place to go is out there with Chucky.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as the water warms up, things change, so I assume the yellowtail are probably gone by now.
Yes, they're gone.
And,
yeah,
Sierras, are there still some Sierras inshore?
Not lately. I've seen some other fish, but usually right around this time, there's no more Sierras or yellowtails there.
So we're,
and the roosters are starting to come in, the bigger ones, aren't they, Chucky?
Oh, yeah, the roosters are this is when we've seen a lot of them. And, you know, the best time for the big roosters is end of May, beginning of June, and I don't know why. That's very very rare, but the big ones have always been caught during that time of the year.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like it's a good time to make some reservations and get on down there. And, you know, what you can do is you just fly into the Los Cabos Airport, and Chucky can arrange transportation to pick you up at the airport, take you directly to the Palmas de Cortez, and you'll get up in the morning. The sun will be rising over the Sea of Cortez, and what a beautiful sight that is. Grab some breakfast, and then just walk down to the dock, step on the boat, and go out and get...
You know, John, speaking of that, let me interrupt for a minute. You know, I fish all over down here, and I always am with Chucky because, well, Chucky and I are really good friends. And besides, the accommodations are fantastic, but there's not hardly or any that I know where you can get out of bed in the morning, take your shower, walk over, and have a buffet breakfast before you go fishing. And I mean really good and fresh, with juices there, cold. I mean, it's just incredible, just the breakfast bar before you go fishing.
Now, and then you just walk out and step on the boat, and away you go.
That's taken right.
Care of. Chucky, we always like to get that famous phone number from you, which is
877-777-TUNA.
Chucky, thank you very much for taking your time out of your day to help us out. We appreciate that and hope to be seeing you real soon.
Okay, then, we'll see you soon.
You can also go to fishtalkradio.com, and right on the front page where it says Van Warmer Resorts, click on that, and there's some incredible deals going on down there. Thank you, Chucky.
Bye, Chucky.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to go to Rick Marin and get a report out of H&M and the landing down in San Diego and see what's going on in Southern California. Rick?
Hey, good day. How are you?
Oh, just keeps getting better.
Good. It sure is nice to see the spring is finally here.
Yeah.
The we're just, showing up.
Yeah, we're just, as you noticed, we were talking to Chucky down in Baja California Sur. And things are changing. It looks like it's not only spring has sprung, it looks like summer's starting to happen.
Well, I don't know if it's still quite a bit of cold water, but it's definitely warming up. We're up to about 58.5 degrees, and we're starting to see yellowtails starting to come up the line. We're catching a few of them. And
there you go.
It's looking good.
So it sounds like...
Yeah, we're sending all the yellowtail up your way because our water right now is almost up to 80 in some places. So they're coming north.
Right.
Chase them up.
We'll take them.
Yeah, well, we already had our fun with them. It's your turn.
We'll babysit them for you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, but you probably will do more than babysit them.
with any luck at all.
good luck. Rick, give us an idea what is happening out there and where your boat's headed and what are they catching?
Well, like I said, right now the focus is changing. The spring is always a time of transition. We're still catching rockfish. We have boats going down to Colnett, which is south of Ensenada, fishing for the rockfish. And there's also quite a bit of that yellowtail that sits on that pinnacle this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
As we're going up the coast, the boats are ranging anywhere from Ensenada or close to it for our full-day boats and Coronado Islands on a three-quarter day and catching yellowtail. There's been a little bit of spattering of barracuda flipping around, but nobody's really targeting those yet. They want those bigger fish right now. But they're catching rockfish and yellowtail this time of year. Yellowtail haven't been into full swing. They're eating a lot of that real small bait, the little baby squid, about an inch and a half long. So it's kind of hard to get them to eat a jig, too. But the few that have been caught on jigs, more than live bait.
Rick, we're getting close on time. Let's get some contact information for people that want to go fishing with you.
Well, we've got plenty of openings this time of year, and our phone number is area code 619-222-1144, or you can contact us at hmlanding.com.
It's H-M or H&M?
H-M. Just H-M.
Okay, hmlanding.com. Perfect. Well, let's get on out and get on down there, and let's get some of those yellowtail and see what else we got going on. Rick, we appreciate that report. We'll get back with you soon. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we appreciate you tuning in.
Isle Mirada, a 90-minute drive south of Miami in the Florida Keys, is known to be the sport fishing capital of the world. Migratory game fish, fishing the flats, inshore, and blue water, the fishing experience is incredible. The Holiday Isle Resort is the premier resort in Isle Mirada and the only resort with a full-service marina. Also, 143 rooms, 7 bars, 3 restaurants, 22 charter captains, and a friendly staff. To book or learn more about your dream trip in the best of the Keys, visit holidayisle.com. Have the best at a great price. Mention Fish Talk Radio to get $200 resort credit with a 3-night stay. Call 800-327-7070. That's 800-327-7070 to book this very special Fish Talk Radio package. Call 800-327-7070. That's 800-327-7070. Contact HolidayIsle.com. That's HolidayIsle.com.
I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. Now let me tell you now, I don't care about the evening news. I'm going fishing.
I'm going fishing.
Oh, Lord, no, no, no. No, sir, I don't care what the boss man do.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio along with the Grizz, host of Adventures South of the Border on that, I guess it's a worldwide television program. Mexico, certainly you've got good coverage, and it's on World Fishing Network in the United States and Wild TV in Canada, and I don't know how many different languages you speak, Grizz, but apparently you're all over the place.
Well, you know, John, we're in 19 countries now, and I don't know how many languages I speak, too. I guess they're dubbed, subtitled. I mean, we're in Finland and Australia, and we're just about everywhere right now.
Yeah, well, as long as you talk fishing, that's a universal language. And speaking of talking fishing, we have Betty on the line with us, and Betty has an operation called Ladies Let's Go Fishing. Probably doesn't take a lot of thinking to figure out what that's about. Betty, why don't you tell us a little bit about Ladies Let's Go Fishing?
Ladies Let's Go Fishing is basically a series of fishing universities where ladies can come to us and learn fishing in a non-intimidating environment. It's called the No Yelling School of Fishing. And
non-intimidating? What does that mean?
It means there's no men.
It's what I thought. I feel bad.
Okay. Yeah, no, a lot of ladies can learn from men, just not their particular men.
Exactly. I agree with that.
Good point.
Yeah, It's what happens when you have somebody learning how to fish is, you know, people take them on a boat, and they're usually more experienced, and they do all the work, and they're like, and then there's a fish on, they hand them a reel, and they say, okay. And the people there, they don't, you know, the new person doesn't know how to use the equipment. They might make a mistake. They might, you know, touch the drag or something like that, pop the fish off. And that's because they haven't had a chance to really practice with anything before they go on the boat or learn any of the strategy. So, you know, what we try to do is, you know, teach them the hows and whys of fishing, you know, before they get into that actual fishing experience, or if they've already been fishing. And you know, their job is just reeling, they learn a little bit more about, you know, the teamwork of the sport.
Betty, we want to know a lot about what you're doing and some of the stuff you have coming up, but do you cover different aspects? In other words, you do freshwater, saltwater, fly fishing, or what all do you cover?
It's mainly saltwater. You know, we're hooked up with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, but there are skills that you can take to freshwater. For instance, our curriculum includes inshore, offshore, bottom, and fly fishing. Well, fly fishing is something that you can, you know, once you have that technique, you know, you can go out to, you know, Oregon, California, Utah, Colorado, and pick up a fly rod, and you will know how to deliver that fly to the fish, and you know, and why people fly fish.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have a pretty good idea why. It's because
it's fun.
Well, you cannot be any place that you're fishing that's not a nice place to be.
Well, actually, though, there's another reason, and that's because fly fishing is more efficient as far as delivering your lure or your fly to the fish. You know, because by the time you retrieve a spinning reel and cast out again, that fish can be somewhere way different. But fly, you can pull that fly out and deliver it almost instantly.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to bring it all the way in.
Right. Well, that's something we teach the ladies. You know, you don't have to be an advanced angler to get into fly fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but most people don't think about it that way.
But you mentioned you do a lot of saltwater, so you're talking about saltwater fly fishing then?
Yes, but the fly fishing techniques can be transferred to freshwater. You know, Florida's surrounded by saltwater, but we teach the different kinds of fishing so that you can, you know, go inshore, you know, when it's a little calmer, or, you know, you can go offshore where it can be calmer or dicey, you know, go after the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you give us, I mean, most people are familiar about freshwater fly fishing, whether it's, you know, nymph fishing or dry fly. Give us an idea of some of the techniques on saltwater.
Well, saltwater, the key is to get the fish close to the boat. You know, you're out in a big ocean. Boats just, you know, can't move fast enough, especially the big sport fishermen, and you're in the stern. But, you know, that's why it's a team effort. You know, the thing is, you know, to chum up the fish to the boat, or, you know, use other lures to attract the fish to the boat, or teasers, or, you know, and once, you know, you get a sailfish or the dolphin are going crazy right behind the boat when they'll bite anything, even a tennis shoe, you know, boom, you deliver your fly, and there you go. And, you know, because you've got wind conditions and sea conditions to consider when you're fly fishing.
Do you like to fly fish that much?
Oh, I like to fish any kind of fishing.
Yeah, I'm a fanatic on the fly. I fish a lot here in Baja California with a fly rod.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And, you know, it's a little trickier to retrieve that fish, especially saltwater. You got a lot of pressure, you know, and you don't have the cranks you have on the conventional reels where every time you turn the handle, the reel's going around four or five times.
Exactly.
It's not the same with fly fishing, so it's more critical and a little more strenuous to get them, you know, close enough to the boat to land or to release.
Also, when you're fly fishing for saltwater, it's really done more for the sport, you know, as opposed to conventional fishing where you're trying to get dorado or tuna to, you know, to take home for the freezer. But there's a lot of fish that are a lot of fun to catch just for the sport. And, you know, those are things that you probably, you know, even would not want to put on the table anyway. But there's some that, you know, I mean, obviously tarpon, you know, you don't kill those. But there's a lot of other fish that are not considered, you know, big game fish that are a lot of fun to catch on the fly.
Yeah, we go over the Bahamas a lot and fly fish for bonefish.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. That's a cross between hunting and fishing.
Okay.
Yeah, sight fishing is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, and, you know, snook, you know, are really exciting to mm-hmm. catch on fly as well. They put up a big fight.
Betty, we were supposed to mention some of the stuff you have coming up real quick. We're getting short on time, but let's find out what are some of the events that you got coming up.
Yeah, well, we've got, one in Stewart in May and one in Isla Mirada in November, and it's all on our website, ladiesletsgofishing.com. But what makes us different is, it's a full weekend. There's a party Friday, sit-down classes Saturday, lunch, dress for fishing success fashion show, and in the afternoon, the ladies get to practice all the things, the casting, the knot tying, the net casting, boat driving, trailer backing, and then Sunday, we charter boats, and they pay per head, and they have an option to go out fishing once they've learned and practiced.
Oh, no, that sounds fantastic. I wish I could be there just to watch, especially backing trailers. I'd like to see
that. Well, that's where a lot of yelling happens. And we have fantastic auctions, too. You know, they can see them on our website, and people can e-bid trips to Bahamas, you know, like sometimes 100 items each fishing university.
Okay, well, give us an idea how to get in touch with you.
LadiesLetsGoFishing.com. Or email fish@ladiesletsgofishing.com, or our phone, we do answer the phone, is 954-475-9068. And we want to thank all the corporations and sponsors who have also made it possible to have all this equipment at the universities.
Fantastic. Well, Betty, keep up the good work and get those ladies out on the water.
Well, we will keep doing it. The ladies, come by yourself if you haven't even picked up a rod and reel. That's what it's all about. Or if you're already fishing, we do have advanced, and the guides tell you all their secrets as to why they catch all the fish.
Awesome. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you. Come and visit us.
Okay. We'll see you later.
We're gonna go to Dan Hart right now and get a Southern California report out of the Premier. What can I call it? It's an entire city block. West Marine with a lot of sport fishing gear and information on it. And Dan, let's see what you got going on in San Diego.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Oh, just getting
good.
Hey, wasn't that interesting with Betty and Let's Go Ladies, Let's Go Fishing?
Yeah, it's time to go fishing right now.
You know, just
now the fish are finally biting.
Just out of curiosity. You know, obviously it's a male-dominated sport, but have you been seeing more interest in women coming in?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen more women in the sport, but I've seen them in the sport for a long time. I actually met my first wife on a sport boat.
Okay.
My first wife.
Yep.
Oh, that was 6 ago, Dud Grizz, but let's not
go. Yeah, I know. I have that same thing. My first wife, too, and my second, my third, and my fourth.
Okay.
Yeah, they all got a fish. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I keep using mine for bait.
Well,
yeah, that's the X's, though.
Dan, give us an idea of what's going on in Southern California.
Well, the yellowtail finally started to bite this week. That's
cool.
What's going on, and it's exciting news. These fish are right out in front of the Mission Bay jetties, about 2 miles off the beach. There's breeze and schools of yellows up on bird schools, and guys are catching them on the yo-yo. About 3/4 boats yesterday or last couple of days. have had a handful of fish, like 15 or 12 or a dozen, and some of the private boaters are getting in on it too. So they're biting the sardines and they're biting the yo-yo jig. And so, these are nice fish. I've heard of fish of 33 pounds.
So yo-yo's like a mega bait or a heavier lure that you just drop down
like
and wind up and down?
Like a sumo jig, like a 6X Junior Salus jig, or like a Taddy 4-0, any of those are standard style yo-yo jigs. You drop them down in the school and you wind in them fast.
About 30, 40, 60, 90 feet?
To the bottom.
Yeah, just wherever. You can go to the bottom. This stuff's a little deeper. The spot they're fishing is called the 270, so that's kind of deep. But, I mean, you drop them 100 feet, get them under the stuff, and then wind down them as fast as you can turn the handle. You cannot get the jig away from the fish if they want it.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Excellent way to yellowtail fish. It's one of my favorite ways because when you hit them, it just like it rattles your teeth. They when you wind that hard in a fish bite, it's really cool.
They are fun, and we certainly don't want to deplete their resources, but they sure do taste good too.
Oh, they taste great, and their fish are right there in front, so it's close to home. And there's big fish, like I said, there's been 30 plus pound fish caught in just this week, so it's pretty fun fishing.
Well, in your store, real quickly, it's located.
We're at 12. 1250 Rosecrans, right down by Shelter Island Drive. We're just a block from the turn for the launch ramp in San Diego. We're only a couple of blocks from the sport fishing landings. Easy to find us. It's a big blue and white building. Takes up the whole block.
Right. Well, and if anybody wants to know how to get some of those yellows, stop in and especially ask for Dan. He's almost always there. So, Dan, we appreciate that. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz, and we'll be back with you again. We appreciate you tuning in, and thank you, Dan.